We were continuing in our series called What Am I Here For? And this is our, I think, fifth in the series. We have just one more on the series. And today's title is You Are Shaped For Serving God. And we just have two verses today, very short verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You and I were created to serve God. We are put on earth not just to consume things, but to make a contribution, to add value to life. God wants us to give something back, and that is a fourth purpose for us, and it is called ministry or service. Today's passage says that we are not saved by good works, but we are saved in order to do good works. And how do we serve God? We serve God mainly by serving other people. That's how we serve God. And it cost Jesus his own life to purchase our salvation. So we don't serve God out of fear or out of sense of duty, but we serve God because we are so grateful for God's salvation, because we love him. So ministry is not something that is done by just a pastor or missionaries. Ministry is done by every Christian, every one of us. So when you serve another person, you are ministering. You are doing God's work. So regardless of your job or career, all of you are called to full-time ministry. So, you know, it's not just me or missionaries that's called to a full-time Christian ministry. All of you are called to full-time ministry. And, you know, some of our college students mentioned how they benefited from the Bible study, and it's great to do Bible study, but if we are doing a lot of Bible study and not serving, then it's like eating a lot of good food and yet not doing, you know, any exercise. So, you know, it's not good for us. So, you know, some Christians, not all, some Christians, we need to do more service than just Bible study. In fact, Pastor Rick Warren, who wrote the series, he says that the last thing some Christians need is another Bible study. Some Christians need to serve more, to do, you know, to exercise their spiritual gift in order to grow. And also in today's passage, it says that we are God's workmanship. In Greek, it could also mean God's poem or poetry. It's God's work of art. So we're not, you know, like Coca-Cola bottles where it's, you know, produced in the same mold in a factory. We are God's handcrafted work. We are very unique. God made each one of you with uniqueness, with something that is different about you. And all of us are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. And you and I were shaped by God in a unique way to serve him. God formed every creature on earth with a particular shape. When we look at the animal world, you know, we see the cheetahs or the horses. They were really made to run. That's their, you know, that's how they were shaped. If you look at the birds, they were shaped to fly. If you look at the kangaroos or rabbits, they were shaped to hop around. And, you know, other animals like herbivores, their teeth, you know, are shaped to chew on plants, not meat. But if you look at the carnivores, their teeth are shaped to chew meat. So, you know, all these animals are given different shapes for their purpose. And it's the same with us human beings. We also have a unique shape, and that shape was given to us by God for a specific service, for a specific ministry. Before architects design a building, the first question that they ask is, what purpose will this building serve? How will it be used? So the intended function of the building determines the shape and the form of the structure. So before God made you and I, God had a plan. God had a purpose. God thought of what role you would play on earth. And God shaped you according to that purpose. So when you look at your shape, you can understand how you can serve God. And understanding your shape may even help you figure out, for this, you know, graduates, you know, figure out what you are to do with your life. And this is, you know, the graduates, you know, when you're in high school or in college, one of the questions that we have all struggled with is, what should I do with my life? You know, that huge question. When you look at the way that God made you, it may give you some clues as to what you are to do with your life. And it's not just your physical shape, it's the shape of your whole person. And Pastor Rick Warren uses this acrostic, SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. They all stand for something. S is for spiritual gifts, H is for heart, A is for abilities, P is your personality, and E is your experience. So I'll just briefly touch upon each of these items. Spiritual gifts. God gives each one of us a spiritual, or you know, bunch of spiritual gifts when we believe in Christ, and that was meant to serve God and others. You know, we receive the spiritual gifts when we are born spiritually, when we believe in Christ, and we cannot earn them. They are given to us as God's grace. They are gifts, and we cannot choose any gift we want. They are just chosen by God and given to us, that they're determined by God. So we don't have a choice in which gifts we get, although it wouldn't hurt to, you know, ask for a certain gift that you want. And here are some gifts mentioned in the Bible: administration or ruling, church planting, craftsmanship, communication, discernment, encouraging, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, knowledge, leadership, mercy, working miracles, pastoring or shepherding, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, hospitality, intercession, prophecy, serving the needy, teaching, and wisdom. But this list is not exhaustive. There's more spiritual gifts that is not mentioned in the Bible. And no one has all the gifts of God. If one person had all the gifts, then that person would not need other Christians, because you know that person can do everything by himself or herself. But there are many, many spiritual gift inventories that, you know, kind of tells you what kind of gifts you may have. Although it may be a good way to discover your gifts, the best way to realize what spiritual gift you have is to try different ministries, you know, in church or even outside the church. And you try different ministries and you see how that ministry fits you. But sometimes our spiritual gifts are overemphasized to the neglect of other factors God uses to shape us for service. Our spiritual gifts reveal just one key to finding our shape, but they don't give us the whole picture. So we need the rest, H-A-P, heart. Another indicator is your heart. In the Bible, the heart represents the center of all your motivations, what you love to do and what you deeply care about. Your heart reveals the real you. Physically, all of us have different heartbeat, and spiritually, we all have unique emotional heartbeat. So we respond differently to different issues or different topics. We instinctively care about some issues and not, you know, care about others. And these are clues to where we should be serving. Another word for heart is your passion. Your passion. What are you passionate about? There are certain issues you may feel very passionate about, and others you don't really care about at all. One may be concerned about many different issues in society, but especially, that person might get really angry and concerned when there's child abuse involved. Or one may feel a very strong compassion toward those who are physically weak or sick. One may feel a strong sympathy to those who are hungry or those who are neglected or despised or people who don't fit in. One may be especially angered about the abuses in the prison system. So some things capture your attention while others bore you to tears. These reveal the nature of your heart. Your emotional heartbeat is another key to understanding who you are, how you were shaped. So we need to listen to our hearts and see what our heart cares about. In what ways can you see yourself passionately serving others and loving that service? A is for abilities, and these are your natural gifts, your natural talents. And these are given to us when you are born. And our natural talents, some people are very good at music. You know, we have many musically talented people in our church. Some people are really good at math. Some are very good at art or learning different languages, or some are very talented in athletic abilities. When I was taking organic chemistry in college, it just didn't make any sense at all. I just couldn't understand what was going on. So I got a C like everybody else, right? But then I learned that one student, a female student, she got an A. I'm like, how can you get an A? She's like, oh, for some reason, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm like, I don't like you, But, for some people are just naturally gifted in organic chemistry. She was just born with that capacity. So we may think spiritual gifts are more important than our natural gifts, but both our spiritual and natural gifts come from God, and both are important. And our ability can be used for God's glory. So to discover God's will for your life, we have to examine what we are good at and what we are not so good at. What is your natural talent that you could use to serve the church? P is for personality. God loves variety. There's thousands, maybe millions and billions of different species on earth. And there is no one like you on earth. Even your, even if you're a twin, even if you've had a twin, your twin is not you. When I was in New Jersey, I was doing junior high ministry, and there was, a twin sisters. And, for the first 6 months, I could never tell one apart from the other. They just looked exactly the same. I mean, they were like, just copies of one another. So I for about 6 months, I always got them mixed up. But after about 6 months, I began to notice very subtle differences between those two twin sisters. And after about 3 years, I could tell them right away. I mean, it's not just a difference in appearance, but their personality is drastically, like, they're on the opposite polar ends. The personality is so different. So even twins, are not like each other. You are very unique. You have a very unique combination of personality traits, and God made you that way for a reason. I didn't know, but our personality can affect the way we serve, the way we do ministry, the way we work, or even the way we lead others. For instance, two people may have the same gift of evangelism, but one may be extroverted and the other may be introverted, and the way they do evangelism would look very differently from one to another because of their personality. Carpenters know that it is easier to work with the grain than against grain. In the same way, if we are forced to minister in a way that is out of our character for our temperament, then it creates tension and discomfort. It requires extra effort from you, and you produce less than the best results. And this is why copying someone else's ministry doesn't work, because I just don't have that person's personality. There's a unique way you are supposed to do your service. So people interact, people lead, people serve and work in according to their personalities. When people are encouraged to minister according to their personalities, it will benefit the church, and it will also benefit that person herself or himself. And I used to think that, you know, you had to be extroverted to do ministry, like, you know, to be a pastor or, you know, to be an evangelist or, you know, any sort of ministry. I thought that, you know, the preferred trait was to be very extroverted. But, you know, I was kind of surprised to find, and according to one statistics, more than 60% of pastors, they are introverts. That was surprising to me. Maybe it kind of makes sense because, you know, pastors, you have to pray, you know, and seek God's guidance. So maybe introverted people are, you know, I don't know, they pray more, I don't know. But, but you know, I was surprised. So, you know, that's when I realized, you know, it doesn't really matter what, you know, personality you have. You know, our personality traits, you know, God doesn't really, you know, use only the extroverts. God doesn't prefer the extroverts. God uses people of all different personalities. And in the Bible, if you look at all the Old Testament characters or New Testament characters, they all have very different personalities, and yet God used all of them for his purpose. When I started the process to be ordained as a pastor, my presbytery in Florida, they made all the candidates take two tests. One was a mental psychology test to see if you're not, you know, strange or weird or, you know, psycho. The other one was the personality inventory trait. And I don't know about the psychology test. I'm sure, you know, I passed that one. But the personality test, you know, that really helped me understand who I am. That what's that? I don't know the name of the test, but IMBG, whatever, the... Yes, Myers-Briggs, yeah. Probably most of you have taken it either at school or at your work. So that really helped me understand my own personality. And E, finally, is for experience, your experience. All of us are shaped by our experiences in life, most of which are beyond our control. But God allowed them to happen to us for a purpose, because God is molding each one of us. To understand our unique shape, we also have to consider our experiences. And Pastor Rick Warren gives us six areas to consider. One is your family experiences. Family is so important. What did you learn growing up in your family? Second is your educational experiences. What were your favorite subjects in school? Or not so favorite ones. Three is your vocational experiences. What type of part-time jobs or full-time jobs or assignments were you effective in and, you know, that you enjoyed? Fourth is your spiritual experiences. What have been your most meaningful time with God? Fifth, your ministry experiences. How have you served God in the past? And lastly, probably the most important one, your painful experiences. What have you learned from your problems, your hurts, your thorns, your trials? God can use our painful experiences to prepare us for service. God does not waste any of our pains. In fact, your greatest ministry may come from your greatest pain. The ones who can effectively minister to the parents of Down syndrome child is another couple who has a child with the same symptom. A person who can most effectively minister to an alcohol addict is one who has recovered from alcohol addiction. When I was serving at my former church in Michigan, I went to a mission trip to Nicaragua. It was all adults. You know, I usually go with the youth, but that time I went with the adults. And, you know, it was supposed to be a medical mission. So it was composed mostly of health professionals. You know, but there were a few who weren't health professionals who just wanted to help and get involved. So about eight of us went to Nicaragua, and we did the medical missions. And one of them was an elder, Mrs. Kim. She was not a health professional, but she just wanted to go with the team to help with the medical mission. And she was one of the oldest persons on the team. I think like she was in her early 60s. And when we got to Nicaragua, we learned from one of the local pastors that he wanted us to visit a local hospital. And that hospital had like a dormitory where women who were being treated for cancer, they were receiving chemotherapy, and they stayed in a dormitory right next to the hospital. So the pastor wanted us to visit and you know maybe minister to the women who were going through chemotherapy. And I had no idea that she went through this, but you know, so the other elder, because you know he knew her well, he asked this, you know, Mrs. Kim, would you like to share your experience? And I had no idea, but she went through a period of chemotherapy and she survived, and God had healed her. So before all these women who were going through chemotherapy, she gave her testimony, and she told them how she suffered a lot. She suffered, and yet she was really loved by the church community, and she felt God's presence very strongly in her time of sickness, and how God had miraculously cured her cancer. And you know, I could see like the ladies, women sitting, you know, there at first they were like all kind of depressed, but then as they were listening to her testimony, like their eyes lit up with hope. And after the testimony, they all got up and they gave a big hug, and you know, they were like, thank you for sharing. And the elder herself, you know, she said to us, I think now I see why, you know, God wanted me to go on this mission trip. I think God sent me for these women, you know, who are suffering from cancer. So she was very glad that she herself could be, that her painful experience could be used to encourage the women all the way down in Nicaragua. So the very experiences that we regret, that we resent, they are the ones that God can use to encourage and build another person. So spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, experience, these make up your shape. And when we serve, we will be most effective when we use our spiritual gifts and natural gifts in the area of our heart's desire in a way that best expresses your personality and your experience. God knows and God wants what is best for each one of us. And since God knows what is best, we should just accept the way we were made. We should accept the shape that God has given us. And each of our shape has been sovereignly determined by God for his purpose. So instead of trying to, you know, mimic someone else or trying to, you know, reshape ourselves to be like somebody else, we should celebrate the way that God has made me. The parable of talents, it illustrates what God expects us to do with all the things that he has given us. We are to cultivate our gifts and talents and use them to serve God and other people. If we don't exercise our gifts in serving, then our you know gifts, they grow weaker. And just as you know, if we do not exercise, our muscles become weaker and atrophy. If we don't use our gifts to serve others, our gifts would grow weaker and we may lose our gifts. But if we use our gifts to serve God and others, God will increase our gifts and our ability to serve others. So we should really, you know, take a day and just sit down and think about our shape, our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our experiences, and see where God might be leading you to serve. And it may, you know, even help you to figure out what you want to do with the rest of your life. And we should really take advantage of any training opportunities to develop our skills and our gifts. The true meaning and true fulfillment in our life can be found when we serve God and when we serve others. Let's pray.